He was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer grievously at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, to be put to death and to be raised up on the third day. Then, taking him aside, Peter started to remonstrate with him. "Heaven preserve you, Lord," he said. "This must not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my path, because the way you think is not God's way, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. What then will a man gain if he wins the whole world and ruins his life? Or what has a man to offer in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and when he does, he will reward each one according to his behavior." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen's novel, is probably familiar to you, either from the TV series that shot Colin Firth to fame, or from the film, but you might even have read the book. But of course, the central storyline of the romance between Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet. He's an incredibly wealthy man. She has no fortune. But she's attractive and she's outspoken and doesn't feel inferior to those of great wealth. But early in the novel, Mr. Darcy is very proud and intensely aware of his high social status. So when he first proposes marriage to Elizabeth, he's so sure that she will accept that his proposal consists in mainly of telling how he's lowering himself actually in proposing to her, and how, because of her social inferiority, how he tried hard not to be in love with her. But of course, her refusal of him shocks him and sort of prompts him then to rethink his life and become less selfish, change some of the pride in him and those prejudices within him. And so a couple of hundred pages later, of course, the newer, kinder, less snobbish Mr. Darcy proposes a second time and she accepts. Probably know the novel well. But the book's title is what I want you to take away with you, because what it means, it's that setting aside our pride and our prejudice and accepting people on their real merits. And all of that came because of our readings today. It's about really loving people well for what they are, not for their wealth or their status or anything like that. So Jeremiah's called by the Lord, but there he is bemoaning his fate, like Mr. Darcy in his first proposal. He states his love for God, but then he's begrudging and blaming God for all the things that are happening to him, like the derision and the social exclusion because of the prophecies that he's called on to utter. Then that's what he faces. Of course, he's not happy and he's certainly not popular. And so he has to rethink some of the pride within him and the prejudices. And like the Lord Jesus, because Jeremiah is always seen as a prefigurement in a way of the suffering of Jesus, because of the suffering he went through, because he was speaking the word of the Lord, which of course is why we get that reading from Jeremiah today. But then Paul, St. Paul, in that second reading, is giving us a warning, not following the ways of the world. All that worldliness, all that wealth that Mr. Darcy had, and the world today with its obsession with wealth and status and possessions and goods. And St. Paul's saying, remodel your minds, change the way you think about things, and instead offer yourselves and your lives to God differently. Something we're always called on, that's why we began, God of mercy and compassion, look upon us, because we know our frail, sinful beings that we are, we will not achieve that perfection. We've got to change, or as it were, master our pride, conquer our prejudices. Because the gospel shows that real loving people, taken to the extreme, as Jesus foretells his suffering, death, and resurrection. And Peter, of course, the Peter we had last week professing his faith, Peter, as ever, first to respond. And it appears to be out of love for the Lord. He said, Lord, this mustn't happen to you. And he takes him aside. But Jesus is talking of a greater love than anything. And his death will be the ultimate act of love for the whole world. And Peter mustn't get in the way. You would think after last Sunday's gospel that actually Peter professing that, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, your faith and all that, and that human Peter coming out again that provokes from the Lord, get behind me, Satan. Because the prejudices of Peter's day, and Peter, proud of this great master that he's professed. This is the Christ. This is the chosen one. No wonder we're proud to be belonging to him. Has to rethink both his pride and his prejudices. The prejudices of the time. The prejudices of the time were that the Messiah would be one who would come as a political leader, who will come, as it were, on his war horse, would overthrow the Romans, and would reign supreme. We're seeing the turbulence, of course, Libya at the moment, but what they expected in the Roman occupation, the Jews, that this leader would come and overthrow all that. And that was the prejudices of the time, and they've got to be changed. And that's what Jesus is saying, that may be the way the world thinks, but the way God thinks is the way that we know only too well. It's the way always laid before us. And I think now we can look the difference, the cross there, because you can only get to become the Saint Peter beyond it when you've gone through the cross. And Peter had to learn that lesson. It's part of the lesson for all of us. Peter could only get as far as there when he'd gone through that way, as indeed Jesus himself. And so see the pride within us, because most of our sins, pride is often the one big sin, isn't it? I mean, Adam and Eve, it was their pride to be like gods. So, you know, that's what needs to be crossed out. That's what Jesus does. Those of you who know me well now, you've heard it so often. See the cross, the upright of the cross, the eye, and Jesus come, crosses that out. Our selfishness, our pride, our prejudices crossed out, because following him is totally different. And we've got to rethink so that we're newer, we're refreshed, we're renewed in the Lord. And how often on that journey that we have to make, we can hear, and we need to hear, we have to say to ourselves, as temptation sorely presses upon us, get behind me, Satan. Because so often, temptation's all around us, as we know. And it's that call to mind, Peter, as we're beginning to change some of our pride, as we're trying to alter our prejudices, as we're trying to walk away from our selfishness and become selfless in the Lord's service. That's all got to change. And that's the daily challenge to every Christian and is a daily challenge, but one that Jesus makes clear that if and when we do, it's well worth it, because in the end, we've saved our life, and that life is life with God.